Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Rarely has American public opinion shifted as much and as quickly as it has on the subject of marriage equality. From polls that were 60 to 40% against gay marriage 5 years ago to 60-40 for the issue today, with pluralities of up to 80% for younger Americans. You couple this with last year's Supreme Court decisions, the U.S. versus Windsor, which invalidated the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, Hollingsworth versus Perry, which struck down California's Prop 8 law, plus a string of federal and state court decisions since, it seems that marriage equality in all 50 states is almost inevitable. The final decision could come within a year as the state of Utah has announced they will appeal the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals' 3-judge panel decision striking down their law banning same-sex marriage directly to the Supreme Court. Litigation involving Oklahoma's own ban on same-sex marriage rests with that same circuit court. My guest today has been a part of the marriage equality movement since his home state of Massachusetts became the first in the nation to strike down their anti-gay marriage laws. As executive director of Mass Equality, Mark Solomon helped fend off several Massachusetts constitutional conventions and a public vote on gay marriage. Today, he's the national campaign director for Freedom to Marry, and he's in Oklahoma networking with members of the Equality Network and Freedom Oklahoma to raise support for marriage equality here in our state. And I spoke with him while he was here. Mark Solomon, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be here.
You know, it's been 10 years since the first state, Massachusetts, recognized marriage equality, and you were in Massachusetts at that time, and some of your work was fighting off attempts to overturn that judicial decision. Now, fast forward 10 years, 20 states have recognized same-sex marriage, and there hasn't been a poll in the last 2 years in which a majority of Americans haven't approved of same-sex marriage. Have you been surprised by this turnaround in public opinion?
Well, in some ways, as you said, I've been at this for a long time, so sometimes it feels like it's been a really long time, as I've been at it ever since. But I also have to say that in the past 2 to 3 years, we really have picked up some real momentum and it makes sense because the more people get to know couples that are married, so the more couples that get married, the more people get to know them, the more there's support for marriage equality, and the more it's like a spiral, and that's sort of where we are right now.
You think as more people see a same-sex couple and see that they're really no different than anybody else, that sort of fear of the unknown is receding?
Right, and very precisely, it's this when they see that the reasons that same-sex couples want to marry out of a sense of love and commitment for one another, they realize it's really the same reason that they want to marry. And so they, you know, this notion that there's something scary or that there's some sort of threat really falls away as they learn that these loving and committed couples simply want to marry because they want to take care of one another.
What do you attribute that relatively quick change? 10 years seems like a long time, but really when you look at big social changes in America, it usually takes a lot longer.
I think that there are a couple things. Number one has been, you know, at the core of our strategy, at the core of this work has been what Harvey Milk, the elected official in San Francisco, one of the first openly gay elected officials, called gay people to do, which is to come out and tell our stories. And that's, you know, what's happened is that same-sex couples in every part of the country, here in Tulsa and in Oklahoma City and in every part of Oklahoma and every part of the country, have been just talking about who they are. And the more people get to know gay couples and meet their families, meet their kids, hear their parents, hear the journey stories that their parents have been on. You know, I wasn't crazy about it when my daughter told me she was a lesbian. You know, I thought that was a real problem. But then as I got to understand it more, met her partner, you know, I realized I wanted for her the same thing I want for my other two kids. The more of those, and then the parents talk to their friends and explain their story, the more that happens, the more people come to accept. And so that's been, you know, at the core of what we've been doing over the last 10 plus years. And then the other thing I'd say is we've also been very active in electoral politics across the board. And we've done a good job of backing the lawmakers who have stood with us. And that's also an important element of the work as we've worked to pass legislation in places like New York and Delaware and elsewhere, New Hampshire, Vermont. So, you know, we play actively politically, but then we really focus on, you know, at the core of it all is telling our stories.
Talking about that, telling the stories, because I think there are a lot of people who, that freedom to be able to tell your story has made a big difference, because you knew people, but you really didn't know. You thought they were single, and it turns out they've been in a long-term relationship for 20, 30 years.
Yeah, and, you know, for a lot of people, they don't, especially in a more conservative place like Oklahoma, people, you know, want to essentially, like everybody, they want to sort of be left alone. They don't want to be vulnerable. Nobody really wants to be vulnerable.
A heterosexual couple doesn't want intimate questions about your relationship with your spouse.
Right. And
the same for a gay couple.
Exactly. And with a gay couple, it's even more, because you don't know how your colleagues at work are going to act. You don't know how your boss is going to act and perceive it and experience it. Your neighbors, you know, you essentially just want to be able to live, you know, freely but live without any fear. So what gay couples have done is they've seen how, I mean, marriage is really a rite of passage in our society. I mean, not everybody has to get married, obviously, but having the opportunity to commit to somebody for a life, for their lives, is something that is really central to our lives. And, you know, many same-sex couples have seen, you know what, this is worth fighting for. This is worth sharing my story for. You know, coming out and talking to my neighbor and explaining why I want to marry, why it's important to marry, both because of the respect that our society gives couples that are married, and also for the, you know, 1,150 plus tangible protections, from Social Security to jointly filing taxes to being able to take care of your spouse if they're ill, and on and on and on. So there, and so that's what's happened. And it's, you know, my group, Freedom to Marry, and lots of the groups that have been advocates have helped people get more comfortable sharing their stories and talking through with them, you know, sort of how to do it. Be super genuine, be super honest, and, you know, getting people comfortable with the notion of sharing who they are.
Now, over the last couple of years, you've seen decision after decision where the courts, based on the Supreme Court decision last term, the California Prop 8 case in the Defense of Marriage Act, have basically struck down state bans against same-sex marriage all across the country. Many are still in the courts. Many have gone through district court. Some have gone through now appellate court, as in the case of Utah. Utah has said, well, we're not going to keep this decision in the 10th Circuit for the full roster of judges. They're going to go straight to the Supreme Court. They have not, I don't believe they've filed a cert yet, but I think their plan is to do that in the next few weeks. So this very well could be on the Supreme Court docket this coming fall.
That's right, exactly right.
Is that something that has to happen? Because, you know, at this point, since all the judges have ruled pretty much in unanimity, the Supreme Court could just say, well, we're not going to hear it.
You're right. The Supreme Court could say that we are not going to hear it, and we're going to let every circuit, the intermediate level of court, decide for itself and let things play out. You know, we don't want that. We want the Supreme Court to take up a case, because, you know, truly for every day, month, year that gay couples can't marry or that their marriages aren't respected, you know, is another day, week, month, year when parents can't see their children get married or live through their children's marriage, and the various both indignities and very tangible harms that are a result of not being able to marry. And the other thing is that so many Americans now see that it makes no sense to have this patchwork where, you know, your marriage is treated as fully equal and respected in Iowa and in Minnesota, but not in Missouri
or Oklahoma. Where if you got married somewhere else and you come here, all of a sudden you're filing a joint return for your federal tax. And, you know, if you do this in the state, you're risking the possibility of fines and punishment.
Right. So the patchwork just makes, makes no sense. And that's why ultimately, and as you said, rightly, pretty quickly, potentially, the Supreme Court needs to step in and rule. And what we've seen, also, as you mentioned, Rich, is that court after court, now 24 courts in a row in the past year, have ruled that it's clearly unconstitutional to ban gay couples from marrying, that if people can get married under state law, and they can, obviously, you can't say that straight couples can marry and gay couples can be excluded, that that's a clear violation of equal protection.
You feel very confident that the Supreme Court will uphold that? Because I think there are people who do worry about maybe the Supreme Court might feel that the undercourts are taking this further than they wanted to go in the first case.
You know, I think that the court will uphold the freedom to marry for same-sex couples and will strike down the constitutional bans. We've been working for a very long time to create the climate for a national victory in court. The strategy has always been to get a national victory for marriage equality nationwide through the U.S. Supreme Court. But until we had a critical mass of states and a critical mass of public support, you know, we didn't think the court would rule our way, because historically the court looks to, you know, doesn't want to be too far in front of where the public is. Today we have, you know, 19 or 20 states, depending on whether you count Colorado. We have 44% of the country where gay couples can marry. We have 59% of Americans who support marriage equality. We have, you know, obviously for younger people, it's just overwhelming support.
It's like 80%. Yeah.
Right. And even for Republicans under 45, Washington Post poll recently showed that 56% of Republicans under 45 support the freedom to marry. Every region of the country, there's majority support. The South, you know, some polling shows it's right at 50%, but all the other regions are at really overwhelmingly majority support. So we think we have a really strong case to make that the country is now ready for a national ruling. And, you know, and then when we look at the justices and the opinion last year in striking that down, the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, it was, you know, Justice Kennedy who wrote the opinion, really eviscerated every argument that our opponents use for why it's acceptable to exclude same-sex couples from marriage.
And he'll probably, be the swing vote in the coming case if it does come before the Supreme Court.
Right. And he's been, his legacy is being the leader, the champion on equality for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community. He believes in it passionately, believes that the Constitution protects people's privacy to live their lives as they choose, as long as they aren't hurting other people, the freedom to do that. And so I have every confidence that if the court takes up a case, our side will prevail. I think you're right. He will write the opinion. And
all right, we'll have to see. My guest today is Mark Solomon, the National Campaign Director for Freedom to Marry. He was formerly Executive Director of Mass Equality when Massachusetts became the first state to recognize marriage equality. That was a judicial decision, although did you have two votes in Massachusetts to overturn
it? We did. There was that was more than 10 years ago now, and you know, the whole our opposition from across the country came out and tried to stop it. And our opposition back then was much bigger. It was sort of who you'd expect, the religious right, and our governor at the time was Mitt Romney, President Bush, but then also many mainstream Democrats, like even our U.S. Senator John Kerry, opposed the decision and supported a constitutional amendment to take it away in Massachusetts. So we had to stop constitutional amendments from taking away the marriage ruling in Massachusetts, and that's what we did.
Yeah, and of course, the Catholic Church was against that, and of course, that's a very powerful political constituency in Massachusetts, at least in eastern Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, it's the second most Catholic state in the country. And, you know, Catholics are actually, Catholic individuals are pretty strong supporters on our side. The hierarchy did everything it could to stop the decision, you know, under really strict orders from the Vatican to try to stop this. And, you know, but through our telling our stories and organizing, we were able to prevail.
Now, when we talked about the current climate, how important were electoral victories, like turning back these amendments in Massachusetts, the votes in Maine and several other states where voters actually legalized same-sex marriage?
Yep.
How important was that to this journey, where voters actually, you know, the mass of voters said yes, as opposed to a court?
Right. So I think it was. It's been very important to win at the ballot box. It's not our preferred way of fighting this kind of fight. I don't think it's appropriate for minority groups of any stripe to have to, you know, secure their
rights
fundamental
to popular vote.
Right. That's not the way our Constitution was set up. But to be able to show that we can win at the ballot, and we did in 2012, we won four times the ballot, four out of four, showed that, you know what, this, you know, our opponents had always argued that the polls are wrong, the polls are off. When people actually vote on this, they're going to, you know, you're going to lose no matter what. We showed them that they're wrong, that actually the American people in so many places are with us, and that when we are able to make our case, we can prevail. That had a real, you know, all of, so much of this is about building momentum for a national victory. And then, you know, and then of course, winning at the local level where it makes such a profound difference in people's lives.
Well, that's interesting because you were talking earlier about the two things, was freedom to tell your story and electoral politics, and creating electoral politics and where you have politicians that are friendly to recognizing marriage equality. Is it not important to win validation from states around the country? Is a judicial decision enough to validate that in your organization's mind?
Well, we want to – so our goal has been to rack up as many state victories as we can in order to create the climate for a court victory, a national Supreme Court victory. So winning states by every means, through the courts, through the legislature, through the ballot where we have to, those have all been means where we've won and prevailed in states. And then we've also done a huge amount of public education to show why gay people want to marry and explain that. And that's grown public support very significantly. All of that together is what's created this climate for all of these court victories and what we hope and expect will be an ultimate court victory.
Now, of course, Oklahoma has a state constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. It is also before the Tenth Circuit. It wasn't ruled on by the Tenth Circuit. Is that one of the reasons for your visit here?
Yeah. So what Freedom to Marry is doing is we're partnering with local organizations. And here we've worked with the Equality Network to create a group called Freedom Oklahoma that's working to make the case for the Freedom to Marry here in Oklahoma. So it's about creating the climate both for the Tenth Circuit to do the right thing and also for the U.S. Supreme Court to do the right thing. We want justices, when they look out at the country, to see that the country truly is ready for marriage nationwide.
Is there any difference between the Utah ban on same-sex marriage and the Oklahoma ban on same-sex marriage?
No, they're constitutionally pretty much the same.
Yeah, and is it a matter of the Tenth Circuit saying, well, we've ruled on Utah, we don't have to rule on Oklahoma, or is it just in different parts of the – different phases of the litigation?
Yeah, so the litigation is in the same phase right now. And one thing I've learned over the last decade plus is to – you know, you can always speculate on why courts are doing what they're doing, but you never know. And people are usually wrong. So it's I don't know why they haven't ruled yet in Oklahoma. But clearly a majority of that three-judge panel, a Democrat from Colorado and a Republican from Oklahoma, ruled favorably in the Utah case. And I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do the same for the Oklahoma case.
Mm-hmm. Now, we anticipate, because Utah is going to appeal to the Supreme Court, that this will be a Supreme Court case for the coming year. Given that, and if what the precedents, the recent precedents have been in which federal courts have upheld the recognition of marriage equality and overturned state constitutional bans on same-sex marriage, is the campaign over if they rule in favor, or is there other issues involved?
So if the court rules in favor, our organization's campaign is over. Our job, what we set out to do more than a decade ago, was to win the Freedom to Marry nationwide. That doesn't mean that the work of our community is done. We still can be in Oklahoma and many other states, be fired simply because we're gay or transgender. There still is a big issue of bullying and on and on. So there's still real issues that our community deals with and is hurt and you know, laws that we need to pass in order to fix those inequities. But for marriage, if the Supreme Court rules nationwide that state bans are unconstitutional, then essentially that cause is complete.
My guest today is Mark Solomon, National Campaign Director for Freedom to Marry. He is here in Oklahoma working with Freedom Oklahoma and the Equality Network, and his organization devoted to marriage equality. And has worked with a lot of jurisdictions around the country in making that happen, and he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. You were talking about discrimination based on sexual orientation. And, of course, as you well know, in Congress, there has been a bill. It's passed the Senate, which outlaws discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Not sure it's ever going to get to the House, but in the wake of the Hobby Lobby decision, a lot of the groups that are supporting that bill have pulled back because there is a religious exemption in that bill. And I'm wondering how the Hobby Lobby case, now this is all about contraception, mm-hmm. but the underlying legal principles, which expands the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, do you think this could have an effect on discrimination issues? You know, the stories of the bakers in Colorado and marriage photographers in New Mexico that didn't want to take the pictures and how they were forced to. And does this case offer sort of that sort of chink in the armor towards discrimination?
You know, on issues of employment discrimination, you know, we're taking the opinion in this so-called Hobby Lobby case at its word. And the majority opinion said very clearly that when it comes to issues, you know, using religion as an excuse to discriminate, a license to discriminate, that's not acceptable, and that this case doesn't mean that businesses can simply, you know, point to religion and say, you know, my religion says that we won't serve African Americans or Jewish people, et cetera. So, you know, I don't think that that's we'll take the opinion at its word on that. With respect to the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, you know, gay, you know, lesbian, transgender people in this country can be fired simply because of who they are. And that's a huge inequity. And it's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that holds people back from coming out of the closet and talking about who they are is because they can be fired. What our community wants is we want to be treated in the way that other groups have been treated, racial minorities and religious minorities and, you know, and women, so that, you know, where there are protections for religion, we just want to be treated in the same, in the exact same way as others. So, you know, we don't want a special case made for gay people where you can say, well, you know, African Americans and women and, you know, and racial minorities are protected, but gay people aren't, because there's more of a religious justification to discriminate against gay people. That's what we want to make sure doesn't exist.
But again, in that legislation that's in Congress, there is that religious exemption. That it was the same one that shows up in the Hobby Lobby case.
Yeah. So when we ultimately pass legislation on employment non-discrimination, we want it to be very clear. We simply want the same protections for employment discrimination that other groups have gotten. And the fundamental principle is that if you're working for an organization, you should be evaluated based on your job performance, not on your skin color, not on your sexual orientation, not on your gender or religion.
All right. Well, we wish you great success. And where do you think things are going to be a year from now? You know, that will be the end of another Supreme Court term.
Yeah. Well, I think I am hopeful that a year from now we will have won, but we may not. And so there is work. You know, I don't want your listeners to think that this thing is inevitable, because it's not. I remember 10 years ago when I started, a lot of people said it was impossible. Now I'm hearing from a lot of people it's inevitable. It's neither. It was neither impossible nor is it inevitable. And what we need to do in Oklahoma is we need to make the strongest case that we can. So Freedom Oklahoma has announced more than 60 clergy around the state who support marriage equality. They have more than 150 attorneys who have signed up in support of the Freedom to Marry. So I would encourage your listeners, if they're interested in the cause on my side of the issue, to go to the Freedom Oklahoma website, sign up, and get involved. We need to make Oklahoma a place that that welcomes and respects same-sex couples and their desire to marry.
What is your work? You know, you're the campaign director for Freedom to Marry. What is your work going to look like over the next year? Because as you well know, every jurisdiction where this is coming before court, it's if there's a ban, it's being struck down. I'm not sure there are any votes scheduled in 2014. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. So my job right now is to build this climate. Our job is to build the climate and demonstrate that the country truly is ready. So polling shows that we have 50% support in the South, but I don't know that a lot of people, you know, a lot of people are like, really? Prove it that you have 50% support in the South. So it's identifying the families and the couples and the clergy. You know, we have more than 300 lawyers who have signed up in Georgia. We are identifying Republicans who are in support. We just had the mayor, our first mayor from Alabama and Mississippi have come out in support of the Freedom to Marry. So we're building and growing and demonstrating that, yes, in fact, the country is ready. And we're highlighting, and not in an incorrect way, we're demonstrating the real harms that exist as marriage discrimination is in place in places like Oklahoma, where, you know, a couple that wants to get married here, and I just heard the story yesterday from a pastor, a couple that had been together for a long time, they weren't married, one of them passed away, and the surviving spouse, to deal with a lot of the inheritance issues, had to talk to a family member that they hadn't been in touch with for a long time. And because in the state of Oklahoma, that couple, even though they've been together for a long time, are legal strangers. And that's right. The kind of inequity that we need to keep highlighting so that people remember that we can't just sort of let things play out.
There's no common law status for same-sex couples.
Right.
So that means inheritance is, if you've lived in the house of your partner dies, it goes to a nephew, a relative, you know, a distant relative.
I've seen situations
where
someone gets sick and, you know, they have to call a family member that lives 3,000 miles away that they might not have talked to for 20 years to make a medical decision because their partner doesn't have the ability to make that medical decision. It's things like that that are just, you know, that I know the vast majority of Americans think are just truly unjust. And so highlighting some of those, those problems that exist, those inequities that exist, help make the case that we've got to get this done sooner rather than later.
And it sounds like you're going to be focusing on the South, where according to public opinion polls, support is evenly divided.
Right. So we have an effort called Southerners for the Freedom to Marry. It's a bipartisan effort. We have elected officials from across the South that we're working with. We have organizers on the ground in a number of Southern states, and that is a key element of this work.
Mark Solomon, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Mark Solomon is the National Campaign Director for Freedom to Marry. He is working with Freedom Oklahoma and the Equality Network here in our state to raise support for marriage equality. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.